Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Matt and worship team. Appreciate you being here today. I know you've been waiting anxiously to hear an update on the men's bracket for the week. And Shirley has dropped into second place. However, if Purdue wins tomorrow night, she will be the champion. So boiler up, hammer down, and sorry to Kenny, our maintenance facilities director, who's in first place right now. Sorry, Kenny, but we're all pulling for Shirley. So. It's been said Jesus did not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. The Lord takes ordinary people like you and me and calls us to the great adventure of the Christian life. He calls us, first of all, to have a saving faith in Him. Then He calls us to go deep in our discipleship. And then He calls us to catch others. And all during that process, He is qualifying us for the call that He gives us. So we begin a new series today entitled, The Call. And this first message, which is into the deep, and we're going to look at a very fascinating fish story that has really far-reaching ramifications and life-changing applications for you and me today. So if you have your Bibles, turn if you would, Luke chapter 5, or if you're app, follow along, and we will see in this passage in Luke chapter 5 that we are called to go deep and to catch wide. We are called to go deep and catch why. Join me as we pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, and we worship you and praise you. We thank you for your word today, and you remind us that all scripture is given by you and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that we might be complete, equipped for every good work. Lord, open our eyes that we may see wondrous things from your word today. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus has been baptized early on in the gospel accounts. He has begun his ministry near Judea, as we've looked at a couple of weeks ago, and we're looking at this map. Jerusalem down here, Jesus was tempted in this area. He begins his ministry for about the first 6 months. John is baptizing along the Jordan River, and Jesus then will continue for about a year and a half up and around Galilee. Jesus is ministering there, and he initially, while John is baptizing, Jesus has met Simon, Peter, his brother Andrew, and probably James and John during that time. He's met them. And as he's asked them to come and follow him and see what he's doing. And they begin to do that. And during that time, Jesus is describing to them or demonstrating to them that he has power and control over the devil, over demons, over disease, over the disgrace of not having enough wine at a wedding, and of being able to care for and deal with the disaffection of people in his hometown of Nazareth in the synagogue there. And all the while, he is declaring the gospel and calling people to follow him. So he's doing all of that. But Simon and Peter, during that time, as we were seeing on the map there, they have initially followed, but now they've what? They've gone back to their fishing profession back in Galilee. And that's where we pick it up here in Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Let's take a look. It says, on one occasion, Luke is writing, he takes one incident from the life of Jesus to highlight what he's trying to proclaim in his gospel account. While the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. So the crowd is following Jesus. They're following him because he has spoken the word, and they've been astonished, amazed at that. They're following him because before miracles, he's been healing, he's been providing for them. So they're coming out of curiosity. They're coming out of maybe wanting things selfishly, but nonetheless, they are crowding around him, and they are on the shore there as we see the Sea of Galilee, and he's along that shoreline there, and he says he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret is just another name for the Sea of Galilee. It is a lake because it is surrounded by land. And Gennesaret is just another name for it. Verse 2, and he, Jesus, saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Why were they washing their nets? Well, because it was daytime. The crowd was coming. They had fished at night. They fish at night because that's where the fish are. It was not the heat of the day. The fish are out near shore, and they had fished, and now they were back, and they were cleaning their nets. Verse 3, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's. So we've got an illustration of what that boat may have looked like. Simon, we all know him as Peter. Jesus had earlier in the Gospel of John said, you will be called Peter, meaning the rock. Right now, his real name is Simon, or you see Simon Peter in that. And Jesus, in his omniscience, knew that Simon Peter would be one of his key leaders. And so he intentionally targets Simon's boat to get into at that point. And it says, Jesus asked him to put out a little from land. So put out your boat, Simon, just a little bit. Why? Well, because the crowd was pressing on him and he needed some room. And second of all, by being out in the boat, there would be better acoustics. He'd be able to speak from the boat across a little bit of water to the people that were listening in the crowd there. And when he had finished speaking, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. That's what a rabbi did. A rabbi read the scripture, and then a rabbi sat and taught and made comment on him. That's what Jesus was doing, and he was speaking to the people from that. And that was Jesus' primary role for 3 years of ministry up to his crucifixion and resurrection. He was a preacher. He was a teacher of the Word of God, and that's what he was doing right here. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, this was against all wisdom of the day. And what was Jesus' profession? He was a carpenter. So this carpenter is telling this professional fisherman, go out a little bit deeper and cast down your nets. But Jesus in his omniscience, Jesus in his omnipotence, knew where the fish were. He had orchestrated to have the fish exactly where he wanted them to be and knew what he was doing in this occasion. Verse 5, and Simon answered, Master, that's a sign of respect, Commander. He didn't really know Jesus' full divinity yet, but he was saying Master in respect. We toiled all night and we took nothing. And I'm sure Peter was pretty ashamed at that. He was embarrassed. Here's a professional fisherman. His livelihood is based on it. And he says, I've caught nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. At your word. Peter had heard, Simon Peter had heard Jesus speaking. He had heard the authority in which Jesus had spoken. He had heard the marvelous words in the sermons and in the one-on-one visits. And so he had an assurance that, yes, I can trust Jesus even though I don't really agree with what he's asking me to do here in putting out into the deep. And when they had done this, they enclosed such a large number of fish that their nets were breaking, and they signaled to their partners in the boat to come and help them. Jesus in his omnipotence had moved the fish exactly where he wanted them to be. And they brought all these fish in, and James and John, their partners, are helping them in this. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, O sinful man. This full catch of fish in the boat itself, a miracle had taken place. As Pastor Matt had said earlier, when Jesus is there, his holiness, his divinity is being revealed. And Simon Peter's reaction was to recognize that he had fallen short. He was a sinful man, and he falls down. What does he fall into? He falls into all these fish. Can you imagine that? Just plopping down in these fish in front of all this crowd, these thousands of people watching, and yet his reaction is to fall down in front of Jesus. Verse 9, for when he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. They would end up following Jesus as well, and along with Simon Peter, James and John would be Jesus' core people. So Jesus is calling them to a deeper discipleship here. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. He was afraid, right? He had fallen. He had seen this miracle of Jesus. He was afraid, but don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men, catching others, men and women, children, you will be involved in doing that. You'll be doing something far more important than catching fish. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. They left everything. He was a businessman. This is his profession. Didn't have time to make a merger. Didn't do an IPO on it. Didn't do any of that. He just packed up and followed Jesus. And we're going to see as we dig into this passage today that you and I are called to go deep in order to catch wide. Go deep, not in terms of the water, but in terms of our discipleship. Catch wide, not in terms of fish, but of our family, our friends, our fellow neighbors. That's the catch that Jesus is calling to. And we're going to see four ways that Jesus is training Peter, Simon Peter at this time, and how he trains you and me to go deep, to catch wide. We're going to look and see it's because we obey fully, we repent frequently, we witness fearlessly, and then we follow faithfully. Let's take a look at those four of how Jesus, the Lord, trained Simon Peter to a deeper call and how he trains you and me today. First of all, we go deep when we obey fully. When we obey fully. The Lord had asked Simon Peter to take a step, a small step of obedience that will deepen his discipleship. Jesus asked him, put out a little from the land. And Simon Peter takes that step of obedience, which opens the door for a greater step of obedience. Jesus, a short while later, as Luke records, would say this, she who is faithful in little will what? Be faithful in much. Jesus calls us to steps of obedience so that he can give us greater opportunities, greater responsibilities for obedience. He wants us to be faithful in what he calls us to in this moment and in this season of life in order to be able to give us more responsibility. The late Elizabeth Elliot, the widow of the martyred Jim Elliot, missionary, said this one time. She said, whatever it is, just do the right thing. Just do the right thing and God will meet you there. Just take that next step. It was July 20th, 1969. Some of you may remember we were sitting in front of our black and white TVs. No channel changers. We had to turn the channel manually. We're watching as Apollo 11 was circling and coming to land on the moon. And as it landed, with just great anticipation, the first lunar vehicle to be on the moon, and waiting for Neil Armstrong to come down that ladder. And everybody watching and amazed, and as he comes down, he says those famous words, one, what, small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And that's really what Jesus is saying here. We take steps of obedience. One step at a time we obey, and he gives us more responsibility, more opportunities to obey and fulfill the call that he has for us. So the Lord Jesus asked Simon Peter then to take another bigger step of obedience. He does that one. Verse 4, put out into the deep. Go deeper and throw your nets down. And what is Simon Peter's response? Master, we've caught nothing. Why would we be doing this? It's interesting that Jesus is asking him to do something in his training in which he had experienced some failure. The Lord had allowed Peter that night and his team to have failure in catching the fish, in order to get his attention, in order to get him to take the steps of obedience and fulfill the call that he had called on him. And the Lord may allow you and me to experience failure in order to get our attention, in order to get us to obey. Got a photo here of the gymnasium at Glenbard West High School. I was coaching at Glenbard, the third high school I was coaching at in the Chicago area. And had some setbacks. Why? Looking back on it, I had really made basketball and coaching an idol in my life. I was not obeying the Lord fully in the call that he had. I was not using my coaching as the ministry I believe that he had wanted me to. And he brought some failure. I lost my teaching job due to cutbacks. And then after all kinds of spring workouts, summer practice, preseason training, everything, one of our early games against a really good team, we got humiliated. I mean, it was an embarrassing loss. And I began to think, okay, Lord, I could have done nothing in terms of all the time and energy and effort that I put in, and we could have done the same. And the Lord was getting my attention. At that time, I had met betting on a blind date. I at least obeyed that to be able to go on the blind date and meet her. And so we began, and I had taken a proper step of going part-time with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes to supplement my coaching. And I began to, as we grew in our relationship, I began to really enjoy coaching coaches and being involved in ministry. And a call came to go full-time in ministry. And Betty accepted my invitation to be married, and we began, and 39 years later, we're here. But the Lord needed to use that failure in my life to get my attention. And he used it in Peter's life here to do that. And I love Peter's response, "But Lord, at your word, I will let down the nets." Peter knew the importance of following the word of God. The very word of God, Jesus, as he's preaching and teaching and speaking to Peter. Peter had heard Jesus say, faith, you need to have faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He had heard Jesus talk about his confrontation with the devil and says, well, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so he obeyed. He took that second step of obedience. And for you and me to know how the Lord wants us to obey and what he wants us to obey, we have to be in the word of God. This is how he speaks to us today. Some of you may be familiar with the Navigators Ministry. I've been involved with them over a long time. They have great teaching tools, and one is the hand illustration. It reminds us how we get the Word of God into our life. And it uses the hand holding a Bible and says, we can hear the Word of God. You're hearing the Word of God right now. That's one way we do it. We read the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We meditate on the Word of God. We memorize the Word of God, but what holds it together, we meditate on the Word of God. We think about it, its application. When we do those things, we're putting the Word of God into our life. And so the question for you this morning is the Lord calling you to obey something right now? What is he asking you to take that step of as he speaks to you through your the Word and his Holy Spirit? And is there some area in your life where you are not obeying the Lord and maybe experiencing some failure in a relationship, failure in your finances, failure in mental health area, failure in your Christian witness? We can only go deep and catch wide if we are obeying fully. Second of all, we see in this passage, we go deep when we repent frequently. Peter saw what was going on. What do? He fell at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. The Lord Jesus had gotten Peter to that point of acknowledging that he had not obeyed and followed him from an early call down in Judea. He had gone back to fishing. He's calling him now really to fully be a disciple. And as Pastor Matt said earlier, he recognized his sinfulness and Jesus' divinity, his deity as God in the flesh. And his reaction was to fall down and worship him. And Simon was doing exactly what Jesus had said a little bit earlier, where Simon had heard him. And Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was October 31st, 1517. I've been around, but I wasn't quite there for that. A German monk by the name of Martin Luther, disgruntled with the way the church was operating, posted his 95 thesis on the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. The first of the 95 thesis says, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ called us to repent, he meant to repent for a lifetime, continually. We are to continually repent, frequently repent, daily repent. Why? Because we stumble, we fall. Scripture says if we confess our sins, that's a Greek word, homologeo, It means to say the same thing that the Lord, we're agreeing with the Lord. We confess our sin. We're not saying, Lord, guess you won't imagine what I just did, just what I thought. No, he knows. He wants us to admit it, confess it, and ask for forgiveness. Because Scripture says, if I had regarded iniquity in my heart, if I kept it in, if I was holding on to it, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He's attended to the voice of my prayer when we confess that. Jesus called us to repent. It's a wonderful Greek word, metanoia. It means we're going one way. We are going away from the Lord, but we recognize it, and we turn, and we come back to him. That's what repentance is all about. Jesus calls us to return. Are you keeping short accounts with the Lord? When you stumble in thought, in word, and act, are you confessing it and getting back into fellowship with him? Is there any sin that you're holding on to tightly in your life that you need to confess and release? Because we can only go deep in our discipleship and catch wide if we are repenting frequently. Thirdly, in Jesus' wonderful training of Simon Peter here, we go deep when we witness fearlessly. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. He was afraid. Why? He was in the presence of deity. That was his natural reaction. It would have been our reaction to come in the presence of him. But he says, don't be afraid. Yes, you're in my presence as God, but I've got a plan and purpose for you. Don't be afraid, because I have a new role for you to play. And Peter responded to that. This new call by Jesus gave Simon Peter, a new meaning for life, a new purpose for living. And he said, I'm encouraging you with that. You can follow, you can trust me on that. Jesus will reiterate that call to Simon Peter, to the disciples, right before he ascends into heaven. Jesus has been crucified. He's resurrected 40 days. He shows himself to be God by being alive. And then he says, wait here until the Spirit of God comes. And on that 40th day, right before he ascends into heaven, he says, but stay here until the Spirit of God comes, because you will be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. We had an opportunity to experience that a little bit. A few weeks ago, you prayed us off, a team of 13 others that were called, men, women, and young people, to go to El Salvador. I want to thank you for doing that and your prayers while we were on that trip. It was a marvelous trip, wonderful open doors to share Christ one-on-one in some homes, in open-air meetings, at a church setting, in a training setting, and it was great. But your prayers meant a lot. Why? Because we had some very difficult terrain. You'll see some of the photos there, difficult terrain to maneuver. We had some very deadly roads that we had to traverse during that time. We spent a lot of time in the van going to these remote villages. And we had some deadly gangs that had been a part of that area. But you know what? We went fearlessly because of your prayers, because of the Lord's call for us to go. And the response of the people to the gospel was just marvelous in supporting the pastors down there. So thank you for doing that. But we could go fearlessly because of the Lord's encouragement, his promise that he gives to us. The Lord in his omnipotence and omniscience knew where the catch of fish were that day. But the Lord in his omnipotence and his omniscience knows where the catch of people are for you and me, family, friends, fellow neighbors. A couple weeks ago, after Pastor Brad was giving a great message to us, we had opportunity to pray and write prayer requests down. And all those prayer requests we've recorded, and our prayer teams that have been faithful, we've been praying through those over the past weeks. And hopefully you've seen the Lord's hand at work. But we've been praying for the healing of broken relationships, for the meeting of physical needs, for the care of mental health needs that were expressed there, for the salvation of loved ones, for prodigals, sons, daughters, grandchildren to return, for deliverance out of addictions and sinful lifestyle, for wisdom and guidance, all those things that you asked for, we've been able to pray and bring to the throne of the Lord. The Lord called, that's a big catch. That's the kind of catch the Lord is talking about for you and for me. Now, how do we do that? Three words really helped me in that process. prayer, care, and share. Prayer is the foundational. It's been said, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence. And so we build on that. And care. It's been said, people don't care how much you know until what? They know how much you care. And thirdly, lastly, it's share. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Through our words, through our life, we try to impact. And I know I fall very short, imperfectly on that. But it's not the perfection of my life. It's hopefully the direction of my life to incorporate those aspects in the catch. Who are the family members? Who are the friends? Who are your fellow neighbors that you know or even that you don't know that need your fearless witness in their life? As you pray, as you care for them, as you share your life, your word with them, we go deep in our discipleship to have a wide catch when we witness fearlessly. Lastly, we go deep when we follow faithfully. When they brought the boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Jesus had guided all this interaction, brought Peter, Simon Peter, to the place where he said, I'm leaving it all. I'm not going to be a casual disciple anymore. I'm all in. I'm following you, Lord. And he left everything and he followed him. Andrew did, James and John did as well. And Simon Peter's decision to do that would impact millions of people over the last two millennium, including you and me. And he had lived out what Jesus had spoken a little bit earlier right on that hillside there in Capernaum. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Where might the Lord be calling you to follow faithfully? Maybe in the mission field, maybe on a missions trip, maybe to seminary, maybe to be involved part-time or full-time ministry, maybe a key volunteer ministry position. Where is the Lord calling you? Maybe you're here today and you need to take that first call of knowing him as Savior and Lord, of putting your faith and trust in him. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says to wait for the Son from heaven, whom God raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. He is our rescuer, our Savior. And if you're here today and you've never taken that step of faith and heard his call in your life to be forgiven of sin and to trust him as Savior and Lord, today is the day to do that. Scripture says, for as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name. That is the great news of Good Friday and of Resurrection Sunday. Oh, would you put that into practice and leave here today knowing that you've trusted him. What's the rest of the story? I love the book of Acts and Peter and John putting into practice the things. So Simon Peter, they're there. Jesus has ascended into heaven. He's empowered them by the Holy Spirit, and the church is growing. And Simon Peter and John come to a lame man, and they heal him. And it's reported to the religious leaders, and they arrest Simon Peter and John, and they bring him in and they interrogate him and they give a wonderful witness to them. And I love this verse 13 of Acts chapter 4. So the religious leaders, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, not seminary trained, they were educated, but they were uneducated common men, they marveled and they took note that what? They had been with Jesus. The Lord takes ordinary people like you and me, and he calls us to the amazing Christian life. He calls us to a saving faith in Christ. He calls us to a deep discipleship, and he calls us to be involved in the catching of others. And all during that process, he is qualifying us for the next call in our journey with him. Will you accept that next step of his call in your life today? And if you do, you'll be able to go deep and to catch wide. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time and the word today. Please help us, Lord, to obey your call, obey fully, to repent frequently, Lord, we stumble and fall, to witness fearlessly in the doors you give us, and Lord, to follow you faithfully. Lord, your word reminds us that you've commissioned us. You've said, go and make disciples of all nations. So, Lord, may we take that to heart. And you said, Lord, in Matthew 9, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And so, Lord, we pray today that you would send out workers into the harvest field, into the fishing areas to catch others. As we read in Isaiah today, Lord, may our response be, here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, if there be anyone here today who has not yet bowed the knee to Christ to trust him, to forgive them of sins, your word reminds us this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Lord, may we respond in faith. May everyone here today that needs to come to a saving faith put their faith and trust in you. Lord, we thank you for our time today, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.